Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
So good to see you this morning. We're going to jump right into the Word of God. We're continuing in our series, at least for another, I got one more week to preach out of this series. Remember what it's called? What's it called? It's called what? Overcoming Challenges. Let's pray before we continue. Thank you, Father, for your presence here. Father, so good to be in the house of God. So good to be under your care, your protection, your love with God's people. Whenever we gather, we know that you're here because there's two or more gathered in your name. I pray that this part of our service would be so, that part of our service that really we need in our life is to hear the Word of God. And I pray that as we hear this Word, our hearts will be open, our minds will be open, our faith would be exercised, not just to hear the Word, but to do the Word, so that it blesses us in our personal life and it gives glory back to you. Father, we pray for this to happen for every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to be here once again. Saying this, you know, there's so many challenges in life, eh? So many challenges. But can I say this first? Last week, Karen and I were just talking and we're just thinking about the awesome people that God has brought to be with us in this house. And we're just so grateful for the awesome people that God is bringing. And together, we've seen many people come to Christ. And we've done it together, haven't we? We've done it together. And I want to say, we want to say thank you so much for loving people. Thank you for loving Jesus. And thank you for loving us too. You know, it's the blessing far outweighs the burden, doesn't it? And I want to say it's an honor to serve Jesus and to serve His house. So thank you for serving and loving God with us. Amen? Amen. So now we're talking about challenges. So many different challenges in life, and I guess this is why I believe that God said that we need to have a series called Overcoming Challenges. You know, when we think about what we talked about, even 4 weeks ago, we talked about overcoming storms in life, right? The challenge of storms. You know, like those, like the boys in the boat, like the disciples with Jesus in the boat in Luke's Gospel chapter 8. They were just going across the lake, and Jesus told them to go across that lake, and suddenly the storm just comes out of nowhere. You know, and you study the Greek, and it said, you know, the storm is a mega seismic storm. It's a storm that these rugged, experienced fishermen and sailors had never experienced before in their life. But it just came, and it was dangerous. You know, sometimes storms can be dangerous in our life, can't they? And, you know, so we need to do what Jesus wants us to do in a storm. And that's what he told his disciples. He asked this question after he'd calmed the winds and the waves. Where is your faith? We need to find our faith in the midst of the storm. So that message was all about, how do you find your faith in the middle of that storm? How do you get through that storm? And if you hadn't heard that message, go back and listen to it. It's on our website. You can pick it up through the City Light app. The second message we talked about is how to deal with the challenge of stress. Stress is such a big part of people's lives. Stress can actually kill you, can't it? But we need to look at stress in the right way. Not all stress is bad. You know, you're going to have stress if you're trying to achieve, trying to be significant, live a significant life. You're going to have some stress, right? You can't get away from it all. But we have a practical, powerful message about how you handle stress in life and use it for good, right? Rather than allow it to destroy you, right? So another, and then we talked about how to deal with the challenge of not enough money. And just like everybody seems to struggle with that, we're heading into Christmas time and people are going to say and think, and we're thinking and we're saying to ourselves, we just don't have enough money, right? So that message is all about how do you overcome the challenge of not enough money? How do you get to the point where you have more than enough? And that message is all about how do you do that? Go back and listen to that. Do you remember what we talked about last week? We said the challenge of getting past your past. Somebody remembered. Getting past your past. big thing in our life. People are still sitting back near their past. You know, they're paralyzed in the present, and they can't get into their future because they're still living in the past, right? So how do you get past your past? And that message is all about how to get past your past. And if you haven't heard it, you need to go back to it. It's right on our website right now. So, I mean, there's some, we talk about all the different challenges and the problems and the trials and the struggles. But perhaps the greatest challenge for us is simply, because of all the challenges, is not to give up. Not to give in, right? Perhaps the biggest challenge for us as believers in Christ is to just keep on loving Jesus, keep on serving Jesus, keep on loving people, you know, just keep on loving, serving, giving. Perhaps that's the greatest challenge, isn't it? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And there's one thing about challenges. Personally, when I'm going through a challenge and I'm going through a trial and a tough time, I get this thought in my mind where I'm thinking this thought, I'm the only one going through this. Ever thought about that? I'm the only one. Why is it me? Why am I going through this? And maybe that's why the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a what? Great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run the race with what? Perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter, author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before Him. Can you say joy?
Joy.
Joy. For the joy set before Him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How many of you in this room have come to this place where you've gone so weary and you've kind of lost your heart? We talk about something in the Word of God, it applies to something that we're going through, right? It's very practical, isn't it? Very powerful. James chapter 1. Verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of what kind? Any kind. Does this mean the trouble that you're going through right now? Yeah, it's the one you're going through right now, or the one you've just come out of, or the one you're going to go into, right? When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it, look at this, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That's a real tough one for me. I don't know about you. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Today's message is entitled, Keep Running the Race. Keep running the race. In Hebrews chapter 12, there are two key important words that are used by Paul right here. He says, let us run the race with perseverance. The race marked out for us. And he says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Perseverance and endurance are two qualities that you need to develop to live this life that God called you to live, to run the race that God marked out for you. Amen? Amen. Perseverance, defined as the continued effort to do and to achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Perseverance is steadfastness. It means being stable and consistent. Endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. Excuse me just a sec. Endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. The kind of endurance that a marathon runner needs to have, right? Listen, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you signed up for an endurance contest. When you decided to follow Jesus, you joined a long race called endurance. And you put those two words together, endurance and perseverance, and it means the ability to withstand and to keep moving forward. I've seen so many Christians, so many believers have literally dropped out of the race, no longer even serving Jesus, right? And that's why we need to preach this word. Keep running the race. I'm not a marathon runner, but I have run up to 10 kilometers. My wife has done way further than that. She's run a quarter or half marathon, but I have run up to at least 10 kilometers in one run. But when I first started running, I could not run half a kilometer without falling to the ground, gasping for breath, and thinking I was having a heart attack. See, the only way that you're going to get endurance, how do you get endurance? I didn't have endurance. Endurance comes from running. Endurance comes from running. The more you run, if you run, you can run more, right? The more you run, the more you can run. Right? And the more you run, the more your heart and your lungs open up and your muscles stretch so that you can run longer distances. And when you start to run longer distances, you know, you hit this place, and I call it, you hit your stride. You know, you runners, you know the one I'm talking about. You hit your stride and you get your rhythm and you feel you can just keep on going. Right? You know, maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a season of trouble. I want to tell you, God is expanding your race. You're facing opposition, but keep on running. Amen? Keep on withstanding adversity and difficulty and opposition and failures. Just keep on running the race. You know, some people think this thought, I think it might be out of God's will. I'm going through so many troubles. I've got problems. I've got struggles I'm going through. I must be out of God's will. Did you ever think that? We just talked about that in our small group. I must be out of God's will. I must be a terrible sinner. So God is allowing all this stuff to happen to me. You know, did you ever think that? I want to say, you're not out of God's will. More than likely, you are in God's will. Right? You're in that place because God wants to do something through this difficulty and through this opposition. He wants to do something. I want to be honest with you. You know, almost every time I preach, I have to ask myself this question when I preach. Do I have a right to preach this message? Do I have a right to speak it out of personal experience? And this, I think, is important when preachers preach the Word of God. They're preaching something because, not because it's the Word that needs to be spoken. That they've got something out of the personal experience that gives weight and credibility to what they're preaching, right? Well, can I say on this topic, a perseverance and not giving up and running the race, Karen and I have a right to preach on this message. We've been in this race of pastoring a church and leading a church for just about 27 years now. Do you know that? 27 years. 27 years ago, we were sent out from this church and told to go pastor a church in Tabor. Plant a church in Tabor. We had no church planting seminars to go through. We weren't taught how to do it. We didn't have a church planting mentor. Just thrown out there, just do it. Just do it, right? After about a year or so, they called us back. We were sitting in an office here. And they asked us this question, do you want to quit? Very little fruit. Do you want to quit? And I remember our response, no. Because this is not just a cause. No, it's not just a good cause. It's not just another career. It's the call of God in our life. It's a call. And you can't give up the call. You got to keep on running. Amen? You're called to be a believer in Christ. You're called to have faith for Him. You're called to have a passion as great as when you first started out serving Jesus. And perhaps even to have greater passion and serve Jesus with greater intensity when you first started out. Amen? That's the call. No, we're not going to give up. You know, well, I was working full-time here in Lethbridge. And then in the evenings and the weekends, we're pastoring. We had so many 16-hour days, didn't we? And how many times did we want to throw in the towel? How many times were we felt beaten up? We felt betrayed? We felt worn out? We felt exhausted? But we kept on running. We had to keep on running. We just could not give up the race. And when we were there in Tabor for, gosh, was it 14 years? Finally, God calls us to be here, to take over this place. And when we finally came here, it wasn't hundreds. It was like just a handful of a few people who had started over again. And it was hard. Because as I said, we didn't have a lot of pastors, mentors to help us. By about year three or four, we saw more people come to Christ in that 1 year than all the 12 to 14 years we've been in Tabor. Amen? You've got to keep running. Can you turn to the person next to you who says, keep on running the race. Keep on running the race. You got to keep on running. Amen? You know, we want to see a church that's built on decisions for Jesus Christ and not on transfer growth. We said that. When we came here to Lethbridge, we said, God, we want to see a church that's built on decisions for Christ. We're so blessed when God sends other people, Christians that are looking for a church home, and God is sending them, and God brings us people to help us. We're so excited about that. But we want people to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, not just a Sunday morning experience. Right? See, we want to see people get saved and added to the church. The unchurched to become churched. Why? Because everybody needs Jesus and everybody needs a home. The church is not just a place that you attend. It's a community. It's a family that you belong to and that you commit your life to. Amen? So the question is, what if we had give up running? Like, in year one, what if we had given up running? I doubt if you would be here today. We wouldn't be here today, right? So keep on running. There's another season ahead. There's always something better than what you've gone through with God. That's what I think. It was good, great, or it was not so good, but there's always something better. There was a season ahead where God wants to take you faster, farther, further. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Paul says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Why do we need endurance? So we can keep on running, because there's something more, better for us ahead that we need to be stronger in, right? You understand that? And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Hebrews 10:35. So do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. There's an exclamation mark behind that. Patient endurance is what you need now. You need to say to yourself, I need patient endurance in my life right now. Do you need that? I think you do. I do. So that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. We are entering into a new season. We are entering into a new season. And that means you're entering into a new season because we're all a part of this together, right? We're entering into a new season. It's a season of growth and a season of progress. In my spirit, I really feel that. But it's going to cost us. Every time you enter into a new level and in a new season, it's going to cost us. You're going to have opposition. Did you ever hear that term? For every new level, there's a new devil. There is greater opposition. But God wants you to push into something new and better than what you're experiencing right now. And it will cost you, but it's going to be worth every bit of energy, faith, work, love. It's going to be worth every single bit of it. No? But can I say that what we've been through and what we're going to go through is really probably nothing compared to what some of the people in the Bible experienced. Can I just give you a few examples? Look at this guy here. You know who this is? Joseph. Joseph says that. Joseph. His life is told about in the first book in the Bible called Genesis. And it's from Genesis chapter 37 to 50. That is 14 chapters. Just talking about one guy. The life of just one guy. 14 chapters. It starts when Joseph is 17 years of age. He's given a coat of many colors. He has the favor of his father. But the next thing that happens to him, he's betrayed by his brothers. He's beaten up and he's sold into slavery. So he serves in Potiphar's house, right, in Egypt. And he serves so well that he just rises to the top and he's put in charge of everything. But then Potiphar's wife, I'm giving his life in a very nutshell, in a nutshell. Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him and he's put into prison. And he's just left there. But soon he's called to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And nobody else in his entire kingdom can interpret his dreams. Not just interpret. Tell the dream that he had. Right? The other guy said, well, tell me your dream and then we'll give you this interpretation. Pharaoh said, you know, no, you tell me the dream and give me the interpretation. I think he did that with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel. That was Daniel. Right? And so, because of that, Pharaoh realizes the quality of person that Joseph is. And he puts him in charge of everything under him. And finally, the dream comes to pass. Right? Here's another example of another great guy in the Bible called the Apostle Paul. From chapters 18 to 28. 20 chapters. 18 of those chapters are dedicated to Paul and centered around Paul. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. These are the words of Paul. Paul says, our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us as we stay at our post alertly, unswervingly. In hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed, and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clear head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, and honest love, when we're telling the truth and when God's showing His power, when we're doing our best, setting things right, when we're praised and when we're blamed, slandered and honored, true to our word, though distrusted, ignored by the world, but recognized by God, terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead, beaten within an inch of our lives, yet but refusing to die, immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all. Wow! He talks about all the stuff that he's been going through, the troubles, enduring troubles, hardships, calamities of every kind. He's put in prison for his faith. He's stoned by the mob. He's beaten. He's exhausted. He's worn out. And near the end of his life, he says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, "This is the only race worth running." Wow. "I've run the race to the finish, believed all the way, and all that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So keep on running." Amen? Think about Jesus. 33 years of life, and yet no sin was found in him. And before he experienced his passion, his greatest ordeal, he went to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And in that place, he poured his heart out to his Father. Because he knew what was coming. He knew what was ahead of him. And what was ahead of Jesus was all these things. Was the abandonment. The abandonment of his friends who would just kind of run and just leave him alone. What was ahead of him was false accusations as they condemned him to the cross, to death on the cross. Ahead of him was the mockery, and they spat on him, and they called him King of the Jews, which he was, but he was more than that. He's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords. Amen? The pain of the whips, the scourge, the weight of carrying the cross on the hill called Golgotha, Skull's Hill, carrying the weight of our sins on his shoulders. On him, ahead of him was the shame, hanging there as a criminal on the cross, naked for everyone to see. Ahead of him was the surrender of his hands and his feet to the nails and the spikes that they would drive through as he nailed him to the cross. And ahead of him was the heartbreak when his Father looked away and the presence of God was no longer with him. You know, and it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, yet for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning a shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did it for you. He did it for me. Amen? What a terrific example. You may be going through something right now. I want to tell you, you're not alone. I want to tell you, you're not out of God's will. Amen? You just gotta keep on running. I'm going to finish this up with some key things you got to do to keep on running, to stay in the race. Write these down. I'll try to go through these quickly. Number one, first thing you got to do is you got to exercise your attitude. Attitude. 80% of the way you're going to live your life and what happens in your life is determined by your personal attitude. Do you know that? Whether it's a good attitude or it's a bad attitude. 80%. Somebody said 90%. Somebody said life is 90% attitude, 10% effort. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Great joy. Another version said, "Count it all joy." Count it all joy. Do you remember that when we were talking about the message about the power of praise, and the psalmist said, David said, "I will praise God seven times a day. Seven times a day, I will praise you." Right? That means I'm going to praise God when I'm going through great times, happy times, and I'm going to go When I'm going through the most darkest, difficult moments of my life, I'm still going to praise Him, right? I say, when you're going through difficult times and hard times, erupt with praise. Erupt with praise. Somebody said, when you praise, you raise yourself out of the pit of self-pity and depression. You can do that. It has the power to raise you up. But if you complain, you remain there, right? This is the difficult one for me, to have that attitude of joy in the most difficult situations is hard to do, right? But we need to have, even in the most difficult situations, we need to have this joy. And counter the joy, no matter how difficult it is, counter the joy just to serve Jesus, right? When you're going through troubles, you are most with joy, you are like Jesus, right? And we think about it. How do you get joy? What is joy when you're going through a difficult time? Excuse me, I'm just going to have to blow my nose here. It's going to be loud. God is merciful. Jeremy turned it down. Okay. You know, one of the first lessons I learned as a young believer is to know that there's a difference between happiness and joy. Do you know the difference between happiness and joy? And I remember I was watching TV on the weekend, and an evangelist called Terry Winter. Anybody remember Terry Winter? Somebody, there's some hands. Terry Winter was talking about the difference between happiness and joy. You know, and he said, life is kind of like for us, life can be like a lazy, big lazy river during the summertime, right? When the sun is shining and the winds are calm and it's nice and beautiful and the glass and the surface is like kind of just smooth like glass and you're happy. But when the storms, when the winds start to blow all of a sudden and the waves get choppy and everything, you know, that's like happiness. When things happen to us that are difficult, storms come into our life, stress comes into our life, all of a sudden, happiness can be gone, just like that, right? That's happiness. But joy is not surface. Joy is the deep, continuous, powerful undercurrent that flows beneath that river. That's what joy is. And it comes out of the depths of your soul. And it has to come out of the depths of your soul. And it's the Holy Spirit that's in you, right? It's the Spirit that's in you. John 7:37, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, streams of living water will flow from deep within him. You know, joy is like a well that we need to just sort of speak to the well. See, spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Joy, spring up. And out of the depths of the deepest part of your spirit, with the Holy Spirit in you, this joy comes out of you. It can do that, right? That's why David used to speak to his soul all the time. He said, soul, what's up with you? Soul, rejoice in God. Put your hope in God. For yet, I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy. It's something that every believer has. But you gotta understand, it's not just happiness. It's not dependent on the circumstances. It's something that's deep within your soul, your faith, your trust. Right? Your belief in God. And it springs up in joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Goodness. Kindness. Gentleness. Faithfulness. And self-control. Amen? More of the Holy Spirit's joy within our life. James chapter 1. Verse 2 in the message says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come from you, at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let us do its work so you become mature and well-developed. Developed, not deficient in any way. Exercise your faith. Number two, exercise your attitude. Number two, exercise your faith. Faith is like a muscle. It gets stronger the more you use it, right? Faith is like a muscle. In the Bible, nothing happened without faith. It was always according to someone's faith, right? We need faith. Faith is what God says we need to have. Faith is what Jesus told the disciples when they're in that boat and the storms were raging and he calmed the storms and he turned to them and said, where is your faith? No matter what you're going through, you have faith in you that God wants you to use, to exercise, right? I believe that God is saying to you today, I want you to reconsider. I want you to reconsider the level of your faith. And I want you to base your faith on my power, on who I am, on who I am, and on my promises. That's what I want you to base your faith on. I believe that for every one of us here today, that there's a step of faith that God wants you to take. There's a next level of faith that God wants you to take. But in order for you to do that, you've got to forget about the questions and the reasonings in your mind, and you've got to literally saturate your mind in God's word and God's promises for your life. And that's how faith is going to get into your heart, because faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Saturate your mind in all of God's promises. And get a fresh expectation, a fresh recognition of God's power working in your life, not just somebody else's life, but in your life, right? So that brings about something that seems impossible to you and is impossible with man, but totally possible with God. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12, we talked about Isaac and we talked about the challenge of not enough money? We said, we quoted the scripture, we talked about Isaac, how Isaac planted crops in that land, and that land was called Gerar. It was a land of the Philistines. It was in a foreign land. And he planted that crops in a time of famine. When he planted, it was in a land of zero potential. It was producing nothing. But it says Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold. Why? Because God had blessed him. Because he put his faith in God. Because he trusted God. Right? See, you will always reap what you sow. Sow good things into your life. Keep on sowing greater faith. Keep on sowing endurance. Sow steadfastness. You know, sow love. Keep on sowing all these good things. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, you will always harvest what you plant. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If you don't give up, there's a harvest ahead of you. If you don't give up, you know, there is blessing ahead of you. God will make you stronger. God will make you better, right? And God will use you more if you don't give up. God never gives up, so you don't give up, right? Amen? Last one, exercise your gifts. Every single one of us has been given gifts from God to use, to serve other people. Use them. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All power and glory to Him forever and ever. He's saying, be liberal with your life. Be liberal with your life. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you, Timothy. Stir it up. Use that gift. Don't just let it sit. Use that gift to serve other people. You know, and I said, the more you use that gift, the better it gets used, right? So keep on. Keep on helping other people. Keep on serving. Keep on loving. Keep on volunteering. Keep on giving. Keep on keeping on. Amen? Amen. I'm just about done. Endurance and perseverance basically sum up our life as believers in Christ. We need endurance, we need perseverance, just to keep on going, right? Keep on going. Because we have and we're going to experience troubles, difficulty, adversity, failures, hardships. We're going to experience all those things. But what do we have to keep on doing? Keep on running. Keep on running. No, it's like that old Timex watch commercial. Remember what they says? It takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking. It takes a licking, but it just won't stop ticking. And I believe that's where that God wants us to be. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Amen? Can I say this to you also? It's not always going to be the way it is right now in your life. If you're going through a hard time, it's not always going to be that way. If you don't give up, if you keep on running, there is blessing ahead of you. There is reward ahead of you. There is favor ahead of you. There are good things ahead of you in the next season. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. You know, let's thank God for what He's going to do in the next season ahead of us. Let's do that. Let's thank God. Thank you, God, for what You're going to do. Let's give God a big hand for what He's going to do already. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for the good things that You have for every single person here. Amen.